Sorry. I was just trying to turn off the weird portrait blur on me, and I can't figure out what's doing it.
Beep.
You're wearing a Misfits t-shirt.
No. One of our German customers. Holograms. Matchless.
Matchless. Hi, hi.
Bye. Hi.
Hi. Hey, bye. Hi, bye.
Hi.
Are we on the air?
I think live.
Live and direct. Good. What's happening in Portland today?
Gotta have my screen. Ah! Nothing really.
Cool.
We're doing well. Actually, we did two job shop jobs in like a couple days. Like, we're doing the second one right now and finished one today already. So it's like real busy for that kind of thing for us.
Router work or mill work?
Two jobs in a week. Yes. You can hear the song of my people in the background.
Yep. It's a, let me guess, 5/8 compression. No, it's smaller than that. It's like an 8mm mm-hmm. compressor.
No, straight up. Yep. That's it. That's it. Well, you just know that's our top tool.
Is it?
That or 3/8 or 3.75. Mm. It's very close. One of the two.
That'd be a fun game, wouldn't it? You could have like a quiz show just based on like CNC nerdery.
What machine and cutting tool is this? All right. You're up, Jem. Oh, are we through two, a door and 50 feet away? Wow. You got that right.
Yeah. John was cutting some birch. Yeah, no, good. Just reminded me John was cutting birch yesterday, which is a foreign sight in our shop now.
Yeah.
But when we started talking, it's probably all wool cutting. It's birch town. Birch plywood for days.
Now you're what is the actual core of yours now? It's like a
hoop pine. Old hoop pine.
I
want to
know, were they making hoops out of the hoop pine? Why was it called a hoop pine?
I don't know why it was called a hoop pine. That's a pretty naff name. I have considered renaming it as part of our sort of product line at some stage, because there's the scientific name of the tree species, and there's also an indigenous name for that tree species. And I've looked at both of those and be like, can we pinch one of those and use it instead of hoop?
Well, you don't want to go with the scientific, because it's Araucaria cunninghami. Cunningham, two I's at the end. Cunninghami.
I like it. Maybe we'll go with that. Anyway.
I mean, it would make you sound really fancy. Or annoying.
Pretentious. No, we're okay.
Yes.
We're going okay. Rowan's out this week on leave, and next week, actually. Oh, he's been making chisels. Amazing. Forged. Handcrafted chisels.
I saw some of those.
Yeah, you probably saw some in Johnny's stories. Pretty cool. He ducked in at lunchtime yesterday to show them off and play some table tennis. And it's like, we've got a pretty talented little gang here. It's cool.
No kidding.
So we're one down, but we've got our FedEx
account back.
Whoa, Echo.
It's not working.
You just started piping my audio back to me.
There we go.
Oh,
that makes sense. I plugged my browser into my microphone trying to play YouTube. That makes sense because you're in my browser.
Oh, yeah. FedEx is back in action, although being a bit weird, but jobs are being delivered. One of the interstate jobs that was on backlog, they smashed thoroughly, so we're remaking half of that job.
Thank you so much.
Kindly. I don't even bother reporting that stuff anymore, because I know how much of a an enormous pain in the ass it is to actually claim and get anything out of that process. So I'm just, I don't even spend the time.
Yep.
Just like, cool, we'll make those parts again, which is what we do anyway for the customer.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, Johnny's handling machining and a bit of dispatch and getting orders out the door, and Ben's smashing on with custom orders, and I'm quoting. And that's just the usual thing that's done.
Usual suspects.
The usual suspects. Playing with the robots a bit. Not as much as I would like, but a little bit. Yeah.
I saw your air cutting.
Yeah, air sanding.
I guess it's, yeah. Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call it either. It was air cutting, air sand.
Technically still cutting, just very small pieces of cut.
That's right. That is right. Yeah, having a pretty good week with Grasshopper. Used some of my R&D default diary time to actually finalize the design of that pod and rail fixture I sent you. Birchply.
Yeah, so you got a real version.
Pod and rail, and Johnny cut the parts for it yesterday and stuck it together. It's looking pretty good. But what I'm running into a problem with reach, which I did not expect. I thought these robots would have ample reach for all the things. But when you start putting like an extra large Gitterparts shelf in the fixture and like trying to get all the way around it, and like I can put the fixture in one spot and I can get, say, all the chamfers to work. Great, cool. And then I'm like, cool, now let's program the edge, like the vertical edge, and sand those. And then I run into a pinch point where axis 5 is pinching. I was like, cool, well, I have to move the fixture so that I can reach that little bit of that edge. So I move the fixture like 6 inches one way. And it's like, cool, now I can get that edge. And then I go back and check the chamfer again. And then I've got a pinch on the chamfer. And so I'm like in this bind where I can't actually program all the bits that I want to program with the fixture in one place, in one orientation. And I've tried all sorts of wacky, like, non-3-axis thinking, like vertical, inclined, tipped over, all over the place, and I just can't get a single fixture position that captures everything, which is an interesting challenge.
Right.
That I wasn't expecting how hard that would be.
How big of a shelf is it like one of your largest ones, or
it's a large,
middle size?
it's pretty much the largest part where I'm running into this problem. Oh, so
that's,
I know,
at least somewhat comforting.
Yeah, we don't make heaps of those components, so I could just drop that part off the fixture and solve it all for the small sizes. Which is
something's better than nothing in that case. It just makes me think you immediately get into like slider table, basically, where it moves in coordination with the machine, which is hardest thing, but it's a little complicated.
Not in the immediate term, but at some point soon, I want to get a picky uppy end effector where it can suck apart and lift it on and off the fixture, right? So if I can get that cooking, then it can pick up the part, twist it, you know, flip it around, reorient it, and then capture the bits that it missed on the far side that it couldn't reach or whatever. So it's all solvable.
Right.
Just I can't get that sort of one and done, which is frustrating. Yeah. But
In terms of doing the sanding work on the bevels, are you only doing one grit? I don't really know.
Yeah, for now, process.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we would do by hand. We would just run 180 on the orbital, so that's not a big deal.
Well, that makes it easy.
That does. But there's people have been sending me cool videos of like awesome robot setups where it changes the grit, like slides the pad off and then picks up another one.
I remember sending, I don't know if we sent each other that, I found that at one point too. It like has a little like cheese slicer almost. Mm-hmm. And it like sticks it in and then it goes over to the new one and drops it on and
so cool. So yeah, just lots of fun things to explore.
Just need a real small robot that just comes and pulls its paper off and puts a new one on. I got you, Daddy. I got you.
That's its only job.
We always talk about the butter robot here. Do you know the butter robot?
No. What's the butter robot?
It's from Rick and Morty. And
okay.
There's a robot, and its only job is to pick up and move butter and serve you butter, like a stick of butter.
Yeah, okay. I think someone sent me that meme.
I think you need the butter robot for the butter.
Well, I don't know whether to keep the little robots or not, because they're not. I haven't managed to get any of the three little guys even turned on yet.
Mm.
So they're not in great condition.
Right.
I'm wondering whether I should get rid of them or sit on them. Don't know. They could, at some point, there could be a fun little side project, but you know, they've got a very low payload too, so there's not really all I could probably do with them is spray painting, and I'm planning to set up one of the main bots to do that anyway, so don't know.
Yeah.
They're just right. So cute. It would be sad to see them go, but don't think I need them.
I mean, we could use the cash and the space. I'd sell them.
Mm.
But you also might run into this thing where you're like, God, if I just had one crappy little robot to do this one little thing, that's going to get way more costly to find later.
Way more. I had a maker from Seattle come through and do a shop tour the other day. And I was sort of showing around the shop. They hadn't spotted the fleet of orange things in the corner yet. And they sort of rounded the corner and they were like, Oh, there's like a whole herd in here.
The herd.
The herd of orange beasts. But it is fun. I'm enjoying Robot Land. Just want to do it all the time.
Are you going to sand? I mean, I'm assuming this part's easy, just the faces, too.
Yeah, that's the easy bit. I'm going to start super simple. It's going to be operator loaded, one shelf at a time. Get that working first before we attempt any automatic part swapping or anything crazy like that. But I'm also designing another fixture at the moment to do dowel sanding. For the load, that one will be auto load unload to actually sand the lengths of shticks, kitapash shticks in full lengths.
So they will rotate somehow.
Yeah, they're going to have to rotate in some sort of fixed jar. So yeah, coming soon.
I saw you watching the butter robot?
No, it's laughing at your note, which we'll get to.
I saw this good post on Hacker News. I didn't read it extensively, but I got the gist of it, which was enough for me to understand it to go. This person's post was, I tried every to-do app, and it's pretty long, and he goes through all the kind of like setup fatigue and subscription costs and like what it does, and they kind of all come back to the same kind of like thing and them not working for them at some point. And what he came to after all this is just using a text file. And I keep hearing this is people using like just a single text file, and then they write their to-dos in it, and it's just like a continuous editing of that one file. I could see that. I kind of do that with, I use this app called Drafts, and it's just text, like fairly dumb text. And I have, 1,326 drafts, as they call them. It has other features, but I really just use it because it syncs quick between my devices. And I'll be on my phone and like write a note to myself. When I get back to my desk, it's right there. And it's kind of I'll just make a stupid list of text sometime when I'm like thinking about it. It has a fairly good dictation mode, so I'll just dictate a few things and go,
yeah,
there's my list for now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for it, right? It's the digital equivalent of a piece of paper.
Right.
Disposable. Yeah. Sits there. Yeah, no, nope. I'm not doing that. No way. I need my list to follow me.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm so reliant on adding stuff as I'm putting pasta in the pot.
Anywhere. Right.
A text note. I guess you could, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was saying, is I do have that. It's within an app, but
You've got it in that app, yeah.
Version. You can do it in like iCloud version of that or whatever your
Totally, yeah, yeah.
Is.
Apple Notes, whatever. Same thing. I do like the simplicity of it. But I'm so reliant on adding things to my list at random times and opportunities.
Yeah,
which more and more I just do with reminders. Like I just ask the crappy Apple assistant to set a reminder to remind me of XYZ. And then I'll pick those up and add them to the main list.
Yep. I mean, one would hope at some point, if Apple ever finally figures out whatever they want to call AI, that these features will get so much better and more easy. And I've had this attempt a few times where I'm like, I think they got sued for false advertising. So there was those ads of like, hey, you know, who was at that party that was back in March? Like, you know, a guy named Josh maybe or something like that. It's like an advertisement. And like that feature is just not capable. There's nothing. I tried to ask recently, like, when did I go on a trip to something to Siri, and it was just like, I don't have that on the calendar today. And it's like, really? Good context there.
Amazingly useless. I curse the series quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's hilariously bad. But also useful. You know.
What are you laughing at?
Just your note saying I cannot stop the M dash.
I can't. I can't stop it.
I want that on a t-shirt.
I keep trying. So, like I saw somebody else post this on like Threads that they were mad that they're so pissed at AI for taking the M dash from them, because I did genuinely use the M dash quite a bit. I found it to be nice, like spacing. I don't know what its real use was, personally. But I liked. Oh yeah, yeah.
Really?
Hold command option and the normal dash, and it produces it, and it just looks better sometimes to me. So I used to use it, and now if you use it, you just look like you're using AI. So I cannot get any of my AI agent things to stop using the M dash. I curse at it. I give it specific instructions not to use it in different places.
Same.
Continues to use it. It is wild. It's like obsessed with the M dash.
So funny. All my writing agents have very specific instructions as well not to use it, and they all bloody use it. And so I just hand edit it out as I proofread things. I've given up trying.
You need a regex just to like find and delete M dashes. That'd be kind of crazy if you could put a script on the output. That'd be kind of cool.
We could do that with Text Expander, right?
Yeah.
You could just have a specific paste command that is like M dash remover.
Never let me. Never let. If you see M dash, strike it.
Yes, that's funny. I do feel sympathy for the, you know, people like my wife who can write academics and legitimately use the M dash. I do not. I've never used one in my life. I'm one of those people that looks at them and goes, AI. AI has been here.
Why is that so long?
What's that strange hyphen?
Did they put two together?
Text expander. I'm going to write that snippet. That's a great idea.
You mean your AI is going to write a snippet to prevent itself from writing snippets?
That's right. I made an awesome snippet this week. Not for Text Expander, but a Python script.
Sounder for that.
Woohoo. Which I was rather proud of. So when I'm generating... Thank you. I take all credit. Claude, are you listening? So when I program stuff in Grasshopper, currently I know it's possible. Richard Blackwell, the master, tells me it's possible to program multiple operations and output them in one merged, beautiful, bloody blah out of Grasshopper. I do not know how to do that. So I'm outputting code for multiple operations, basically in separate mod files. And I tried to get Uncle Sven, my like AI ABB specialist, to like just like, hey, can you just merge these two files together? And they weren't huge files. They were like 150 lines each. But Rapid has a lot of numbers in it. Like each line is a long sequence of numbers. And Claude Sonnet just really struggled to do that file merge. Like it took ages and did a shit job and truncated the result. Like, no, there's got to be a better way of doing this. Hey, Sven, can you just write me a Python script that does this function? Yeah. And a few iterations later, nobody told me you could run Python scripts direct out of ES Code. That's fun.
With like a terminal command?
Yeah. So I put this little...
Yeah, you can do that.
You probably had
too,
told me. Yeah. So I put this little script in my folder with a bunch of mod files and ran it, and like microseconds later, there's a new file with my merged rapid code in it. So satisfying. Right. So cool.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, talk about right tool for the job. Like, I was stuffing around with AI inference trying to do it the slow way, and then Python just does it in seconds.
Can you reference that Python script in your Grasshopper to, like...
Yes, probably.
Dovetail them together? I don't know.
Probably. But, you know, I'm not a pro Grasshopper user. I'm a hack.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm such a hack with Grasshopper. I don't really know what I'm doing. But, yeah, I know, I'm aware that there's probably the capability to make that happen within my Grasshopper patch. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But still cool. Yeah, I've come to a couple of those. It's like having that desire to have scripting capabilities. And like, it is very interesting. The more you get into making little pieces of software, the more you find ways to use that hammer.
Yeah.
And it's easier to be effective at it rather than like, I feel like everything I ever would attempt, like, for example, that like label dumper, you know, website thing I made. If I had tried that 2 years ago, it would have been an absolute disaster. It would like fail and, you know, break all the time. And, you know, it still isn't perfect, but like it's so much easier just to have finished projects for me anyway.
Yeah, I'm super, super curious. Like whenever I post like little Cody output things on Instagram and stories, I often get like a little DM from someone. Like I got a DM from a customer last night who I'm pretty sure is a software developer. And he's like, are you just vibe coding all this stuff? I'm like, yeah, 100%. But we got into a bit of a chat. And
were they offended?
No, I think he's just curious. I don't know. Because, like, you know, you and I are doing it. There must be so many of us, like, making these little tools for ourselves in our little bubbles. I'm super curious to chat to more people about it and, you know, see how people are using this technology to assist their workflow.
Right.
I find it very, 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 just an interesting area. I want to have beers with more vibe coding folks.
Right. I mean, if I just go back to that, you know, making text expander snippets and making, I used to try to make Apple scripts and stuff. And I would basically be like, I have real developer friends that said they do the same thing. They just know how to compile better, where they go and look on like Stack Overflow or whatever Google would bring them back about how to do this thing. And then they would go, oh, there's part of what I need. And then, and I was just always so bad at that. So I'd spend, I've said this before, back when I had no employees, I would spend like half of a day trying to make some script that would save me 9 seconds, like so stupid. And now it's like, I can at least get through that and have something moderately working, if not perfected, in like 9 seconds instead of what it saves me. Which is the same story everybody's probably had about this.
Poor Stack Overflow. Is it dead yet?
It still pops up once in a while. Where do you think GPT got all of its data from?
Oh, I know. Sucked it dry.
So I got switch topics here. I'm gonna try to live. Let's see here. Hold on.
It's gonna pipe some audio in, isn't it? Hold your ears.
I will turn it down slightly.
Hold on to your volume knobs, kids.
Hold on. Where's the stupid
live production?
Cut all this out.
No, keep it in. Keep it in.
Find this. There's got to be a... Oh, what is it? What is the... We don't just have a normal sensor beep in here? God. All right, well, forget that part.
What's he trying to do?
I was trying to do... marker. All right, so I keep what I call the best of... RFQs, and every once in a while I get a new one, and I rank them 1 to 3. I have three. They're a 3-star ranking system. There's not very many 3 stars, which is the best. I just got one this week, and I have to share redacted. I got this RFQ, so it goes, we hired blank blank to make these. We paid them in advance, approved production samples, and they gave us crap. We are having to sue them for breach of contract. We paid them $40,000 and it cost us $15,000 to have a product fixed. We need someone reliable that puts out a quality wood product. And then again, we paid blank $40,000 for crap. We would love to find someone who we could pay another $100,000 to. My favorite part is if you are in the Portland, Oregon area, we would like to talk to you. And they sent one image. And they've contacted us prior, and I've already told them no. And I had some pretty quirky scenario where they showed up without an appointment and like came to our neighbor's place and knocked on the door, and I like had to go like look at our cameras outside to see that they had showed up, because they kept saying they'd shown up and we weren't here and they were pissed. And I was like, "What? You didn't make an appointment and you went to the wrong place, and now you're telling me about your lawsuits?"
Red flags.
That was pretty. I just was immediately like, thank you for ever sharing. Thank you so much. So I never have to worry about this myself.
Thank you for saving me the pain. Yes. That's a pretty special one.
Yeah, that's a good one. not even like, they didn't even take the actual, like, I didn't read it out loud, but they didn't. I know the business they're talking about. It's pretty popular.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So you're not going to jump on that cash, Justin? What an opportunity.
We would like to pay somebody $100,000 to also mess parts up.
Yeah. Have you been given part files at any point of like what they actually want?
This was kind of where I considered it. It genuinely isn't really a CNC router job. It's like a production woodworking job. And that is not our sweet spot in any sense. considering I also, I didn't put this down, we just sold our 12-inch jet joiner planer combo machine the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just don't use it.
I thought I saw something about you, your shady Craigslist meetings selling something along those lines. I don't know where I saw that.
Shady? It's very above board. I bought a, I think I might have mentioned this when it happened. I've like found one of these small Inca, I think there's, we say, joiner planers, and it's a 10-inch, but it looks like a hobby machine. Probably I would consider it a hobby machine, but like it was $200 and people sell them for like $1,000. They're kind of in demand because they're like, I would say probably the best quality of the hobbyish style machines, but we just like don't use that type of machine anymore. So I unloaded it to free up space and capital. And I mean, the original machine wasn't expensive, but
yeah, nice.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I have to make dust collection for it.
Yeah. I've been busy decapitalizing our workshop more. So if it's not bolted down, I'm selling it at the moment. Just
yes.
It's good.
Yes.
Not locked in yet, but it looks like I'll sell Cameron in the next 2 weeks.
Oh.
Our first. Our older CNC flatbed. Sell it to a previous customer who I've been doing that contract, manufacturing contract, consulting for. And they might even buy our spray booth, because they need a water wall, and there's no water walls on the secondhand market, and a new one is like $90,000 installed. And we just really don't, well, two things. We don't really need a water wall anymore because we're only using a cup gun with clear coat. It's very low overspray, so we could have a much more sedate spray booth. And also, I'm not going to take the water wall with me if we move to this new shed at home.
Yeah.
It's too power hungry. So I've been prototyping a high efficiency, very low wattage spray booth, but a dry booth. And yeah, maybe selling the water wall and Cameron and a few other smaller pieces of equipment. But it's kind of satisfying.
Yeah, no kidding. Every time you bring up the water wall, I get Oasis in my head.
I know you do, yeah.
Wonderwall, every time.
That's fair enough. I mean, yeah, it's been a fantastic piece of kit, but yeah, just unnecessary at this point.
You did you pay $90,000 for yours?
Oh, hell no. No, we got it for nothing because the university was throwing it out. And we paid a fair bit for a new controller because it didn't have a speed controller on it. And paid a decent chunk for the ducting, that, you know, huge 600 millimeter ducting that goes up above the roofline. But no, the water wall itself we got for free. It's pretty wild.
Wow. It's a nice little profit upsell.
Yeah. Yeah. And the third robot has to go as well, tiny. Although now with these reach issues I'm having with the like fixturing orientation stuff, I'm like, should I be selling the robot with the longest reach? Maybe I should keep it for myself. I don't know. Is that silly? Yeah.
Is it just older? What's the reason? It just has less...
It's just
too big?
Yeah, you know, the guy I bought it off. No, it's not too big. I only want to keep two of the big ones. It's just like the guy I bought it off had Abe and Abby commissioned and in work. So I just kind of was like, cool, I'll recommission those two and keep them in work. And the one, the third one, you know, was in an unknown state. Like I didn't switch it on before I bought it. So it was like, oh, I don't know. Might work, might not.
Right.
And it does work, But yeah, I don't know what to do about that. But you know, I've got someone who's potentially put an offer on it already, so Tiny might be going.
How do you sell things there? I'm just curious. Like, do you have like Craigslist or Facebook, or what do you do to get those things sold?
Don't have Craigslist.
Post it up on a post.
Yes, you print it out and stick it up at the local supermarket. No, we've got Facebook Marketplace. It's quite a popular. Face Smash. It's quite a popular platform. I've sold a few things on there. It's the only reason I ever log into Facebook. You know, I sold the Y Belt Sander through Machines for You, which is like a machine coagulate advertising website. You just pay for ads on it to list. They don't take a commission, you just pay for the ad. There's another one called Gumtree. Yeah, there's a few sites. But...
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to finalize my plans for whether we're selling the YCM or not, and how that's going to work. Finalize the... This is like a thing I don't usually have to think about, where it's like, how does the financial year end with purchasing machines and, finances and all that stuff? Because usually you have to be doing well for it to matter.
Yeah.
And I've always been like, we've been trending up, but it's not like, oh, we're going to get a tax bill of a century. It's just usually like, yeah, it's been a progression.
So tell me, what do you think of GPT 5?
We were kind of messaging about this. When I try to use it for writing and coding in different ways, like replying to emails, or it's primarily that, kind of like digest this customer conversation, try to respond. I've been trying to use the MCP stuff through SimTheory with Help Scout and Gmail, and it's just been terrible, like really bad. And I, as I was messaging you about it, I was like, it could just be me and the way I'm using it, or like the way my instructions are working, or that this MCP stuff is just too fresh and like you got to give it the perfect incantation for it to like do it right. But also just in my coding attempts, I'm not finding it to be any better right now, which is frustrating because I feel like everybody has been talking about how great it is. Just messaging with GPT, like in the GPT app, it works pretty well, but I didn't really have problems there already. Like I felt like I was doing a pretty good job, you know, answering my stupid Google searches basically.
Yeah, interesting. I think like the MCP stuff, I think obviously SimTheory is an experimental product, so it doesn't surprise me that there's MCP errors there. But I also think that GPT-5 is not necessarily designed for tool calling, as far as I know. It may not be the best model to do MCP work with. I certainly wouldn't use it if I was doing MCP calls, just intuitively.
Oh, really?
I would use Sonnet. Yeah, I would use one of the Anthropic models. But I found it really good for the stuff I use it for. Like, I haven't used GPT-5 in SimTheory at all because I'm just not interested in it as a model. But when I have done stuff through the OpenAI interface, I don't know, just the stuff that I'm doing in there at the moment, which a lot of it is sort of research assistant and design development work, working through robot stuff, fixture designs, sort of robot coding problems, blood test results. I gave it all my blood test results the other day, and it did an awesome analysis of that. I've been really impressed with it. So like, well, that here's an example. I was designing using Chatty as a sort of research assistant for this new low power spray booth, and that's something I've been working on for a few weeks. And I was using Chatty because I started the conversation thread in the car when I was driving around. And then I plugged in the same... When I realized GPT-5 was available, I was like, oh, cool. Let me just recycle some of these prompts from that other thread and just start a new conversation with the same prompt and just see what the difference is in results. And I was immediately struck by how much better they were. I was like, ah, you got the context and the problem off the bat. And I know it's probably sharing memories to some extent, so it's already probably got some baked in context of what I've already discussed, but I was immediately impressed with its sort of, I don't know, just its ability to sort of understand the problem and provide actually useful sort of ideas to try or investigate or blah blah blah. So yeah, I found it really good. But I've only used it for that sort of stuff to date.
Yeah.
I haven't really done any more MCP stuff.
So it appears that it is me then, and it's not intended for those types of things. Like, what do you... Because there is 4 different versions. There's GPT-5, really? Then Thinking, then Mini, then Nano in Sim Theory's selector.
In Sim Theory, yes. Yeah.
what do you know 5 to be made for then? Like research specifically?
Well, I think 5 is just their new catch-all model.
That's different too. So I just, I would have thought it would be better than 4 at some of these things. But also I wasn't using 4 for coding at all. So
no, me neither. I tried 5 in Cursor briefly the other day and I did a horrible job and just quickly switched back to Sonnet.
That's good, because I spent too long thinking and trying different threads on what I was working on, and it was just absolutely horrible.
Mm.
Okay, well, that's good.
I don't know anything about this stuff, really, but I would be really surprised if 5 is not just like a catch-all router that is because it's quite good at, seems to be quite good at going, oh, this is a simple request, cool, punch out a result. Yep. Or going, right. this has more nuance to it. I'm going to automatically think about this for longer. Which I like that, but I would be really surprised if GPT-5 is not just a front-end router that goes, I'm going to feed this question to this model and that one to that model.
I think they talked about that,
Like, they've got to be doing that. They'd be crazy not to.
I don't know how they would do this, but I would love if Sim Theory had an auto mode that was good. For how many different things there are.
I reckon those guys will add that at some point. They've talked about that a lot.
Or just, even if it was suggestive, like I don't even need it to like, you know, kind of, have you done deep research in GPT?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know how like it almost always gives you like this little mini survey of like clarification so they can do, I want that basically, like, just to guide me. There's just so much to know, you know, like we need an AI that just knows AIs basically.
I had that exact thought the other day. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if my main assistant in Sim Theory could choose which model to use based on what I'm doing, and it would just automatically go and call, which I reckon those guys will add that. Like, it's something they've talked about a fair bit. I reckon that'll probably turn up at some point.
Well, that's good. Switch up a second here. I sent you this. Fairly interesting. I have not made any attempts with it, but it's an open source. I don't know if I want to call it that. It's on GitHub. This guy came up or posted a 3D print infill optimizer.
Yeah, so it's awesome.
I find it to be really interesting in the way that at least he's showing it, where it's like you can download it, and it basically helps to analyze stress and how you want to use something as a 3D printed object and then optimize the infill for it. Whereas I've seen examples of doing infill multiple ways within one part, but almost always it's just a fill it up with this type of, you know, whatever you choose type of infill for 3D printing. And this was way more on the lines of like, you know, FEA analysis, functional printing infill solutions, which was just really cool, especially that they made it just downloadable.
So is it a slicer? Or does it model something and then you feed that into your slicer? Because that is, it was beyond my...
As an engineering enthusiast, I want to apply scientific principles into 3D printing. My goal is to create parts with an optimal strength-to-weight ratio, not just uniform infill. It's an infill optimizer that works as a pre-slicing tool. It intelligently optimizes your model's internal structure based on finite element analysis. It reinforces areas subject to high stress with dense infill and saves material and weight in low stress areas with sparse infill.
Oh, it outputs a file that you can take straight into Bamboo or Cura.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's making, there's a video which I probably should have watched. I'm guessing it makes internal volumes that then, I'm not sure, maybe are already infilled with more pieces, because I don't know if you've ever done that before, but slicers are kind of stupid in that like if there's something inside of another object, it just keeps it there.
Yeah,
which is maybe useful, maybe that's intentional.
I mean, you can use, I've seen Rodia do cool stuff by deliberately putting kind of hidden features inside a model in order to trick the slicer into doing like extra walls or reinforcement internally. So I think you can use that sort of stuff to your advantage. But yeah, I think this looks super smart and like just makes so much more sense to have a sort of dynamic infill based on the use case.
Right.
Super cool. Check out the link, people.
Just thought it was a cool thing to share. I haven't tried it myself. I don't really have like a use for it at the moment, but I've definitely, it's one of those, I always say it's like when just having the tool in my tool bag of like, oh, when I want to print something that's, you know, doing a gem test of standing on it, hung off the wall.
Precisely.
I'm not going to just use grid infill, obviously.
Yeah. My last bit of big news here is that Laura's just won it a while ago now, but we can talk about it now because it's been announced. She's won a significant public art commission in our hometown right here in Castlemaine. And cool. just kicked off, finished contractual negotiations and just started. The next
very cool.
9 months. She's going to be very busy over the next 9 months or so with a new public sculpture work. So it's pretty cool.
I'm trying to read it, but not capturing.
Nah, it's not. It's a pretty...
it's public artwork called Wildflowers.
That's the one. It's going to be in the local botanical gardens here. It's a permanent work.
Ooh, that's very cool. The artwork aims to highlight the women's connection with local flora and fauna and their shared love of flowers and plants, according to Brave AI.
Brave. Did you just summarize?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't read anymore, do we? No.
No.
Summarize this for me.
Just to my son, and I'm slowly getting better at reading Dr. Seuss to him, but I found my words so jumbled when I would try and read it at first. I was like, God, I just don't like read enough. I don't read out loud enough. I think we got somebody at the door. Hold on.
Oh yeah, I'm supposed to perform when he's the door, isn't he? I'll just slurp my coffee and we'll edit it out later.
a customer picking stuff up. Ooh. I suppose my last thing was we are doing a repeat job for one of our longest customers, and it's always been easy. It's an easy parts to make. We've optimized the crap out of it. And so I just had to go find, I was going to rerun the files, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go post it again because I want to change a couple things. And we go to set up the router bed, put the sheet on. It's pretty thin, low quality plywood. So it like has really soft core. And we'd never have had like amazing vacuum work holding. Like it's not super high pressure. And the spoil board's a little crappy at the moment. And so it just like wouldn't suck down like at all. And we've also had this situation where we have 3 of 4 working motors, even though we sell the motors. So the motor was in there, but the switch hadn't been properly wired to it. So it's kind of just like capped wires on this one motor. So that's worked for 2 years, sadly. You're right. Like just kind of crappy setup where I never took the time to deal with it. And so we really needed it. We needed the fourth motor. We couldn't get the sheet to hold down. So I may have gone back there with GPT vision mode, showed it the wiring diagram, and it may have told me how to fix it. Whether that happened or not, I can't say, but
of course.
It was very helpful. Very, very helpful. Mostly because I heard somebody else talk about, I think Saunders was talking about this, like understanding wiring diagrams is like cryptology to me. Like I just don't, it's simple, but also you have to kind of understand the conventions. And basically the wires were in the wrong spots. And it, even with them being unlabeled, I showed it the diagram and it described how it worked enough to me that I could go, oh, I could probably fix that. I thought that was, you know,
that's cool, super
little fix. That didn't cost me a lot of money also.
Should have. Love it. Yeah, there's a special place for wiring diagrams. I've never really wrapped my head around them. I've never looked at
engineers
long enough to be able to, anything out of them. But yes, I have also fed matching wiring diagrams of things. Like I fed the what's the spindle model you sent me, the 915A short nose HSD spindle.
Sounds right.
Fed the wiring diagram of that and the wiring diagram of the robot controller and said, where do these two things meet? IO, how do I make the IO work? And it we shall see. See if I blow anything up when I actually try and put physical wires together. But seem to have a good idea of what to do. We shall see, hey?
Right. Interesting. Yeah. It's getting toasty here. It was very hot here this week. Very hot. It's slowly cooling down, but that's going to shorten the show, I think.
Cool. Well, I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm done with you.
I'm done with you. Well, tell Laura congratulations from left coast of America. Someday I will see it.
Someday.
We'll just wait till she's finished and then we'll come visit. And you're back on the homestead.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yep. The robot homestead. Cool.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye.
Tally-ho. Bye. Ding.